Therapist Connect podcast is sponsored by ISOS Connect. Modernize your private practice without tech overwhelm. Create and store client records and notes. Schedule video sessions with automated confirmations and reminders. Send invoices and more. All in one secure, affordable, and easy to use place. Visit www.isosconnect.com and use code TC30 for 1 month free on any paid plan.
Welcome to the Therapist Connect podcast, a podcast for therapists by therapists.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a special episode of the Therapist Connect podcast. My name is Dr. Peter Blundell, and I am here with the co-lead of Therapist Connect, Kaz Binstead. Hi, Kaz.
Hello. It's great to be back on the podcast. I think the last time I was here was just before the private practice conference that we did. So it's been a kind of a while. But yeah, good to be back. Yeah, for anyone who doesn't know me, I'm Kaz Binstead, and with Peter, we're the two co-leads of Therapist Connect.
It's lovely to have you here, Kaz. And I think it has been over a year since you've been on the podcast, which is like a really, really long time. Shouldn't leave it so long until next time. So we've got a bit of
special... We do chat in between.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, it's not that I've not seen you for a year. So we've got a bit of a special episode today because we were hoping to do this podcast recording before this point, but that I was sick and there was other things that kind of got in the way of us recording it, because we wanted to reflect on the past 3 years of Therapist Connect leading up to our birthday, which was our third birthday on the 6th of January this year. So we thought we'd just record this episode and just have a bit of a chat really about everything that's kind of happened. I think there's lots of people who've been with us and listening to this podcast kind of since day one, but there's also probably a lot of people who have joined the Therapist Connect community over the past 2 years who don't kind of know the things that we've been up to. So we thought we'd kind of reflect on some of those things and then maybe talk a little bit about some of the plans that we've got for the future.
Yeah, it sounds good. It's a really interesting point about people, you know, changing faces of people across the community since from when we began to where we are now, and people that are more forefront, take part in Twitter discussions, that kind of thing. People who are more in the background, but still very much part of the community. I just want to say hello to everyone. This was meant to, as Peter just said there, this podcast was meant to be out for the birthday, but we just couldn't make it happen. Just thank you to everyone who's been in the community, is in the community, and makes it work. It's what we're all about. But I think we wanted to kind of start today with going right back to 2019, actually, didn't we?
Yeah, absolutely. Right back when we first met. I say met, but we met kind of virtually.
online.
all online. And interesting events recently have kind of like reminded us of kind of what brought us together in the first place. But we met on Twitter and around the campaigning around this Scoped project in the UK. So for any of our international listeners, it's a controversial competency framework that is that's being discussed at the moment between different membership bodies in the UK. And it wasn't just us two, actually. There was quite a few different therapists who were connected talking around that particular topic at that time. And that's where we kind of first met and started to chat and talk about things all therapy related.
It's funny because one of the membership bodies is holding a Scoped vote. It's open at the moment. So I guess we sometimes I say to Peter, it's like Groundhog Day. It's like, oh, we're back here again. So we're back talking about Scoped, a little bit more exhausted than when we were in 2019.
I don't know. I was quite exhausted in 2019.
You were already exhausted then. I wasn't. I was like raring to go. there were a few of us. It was actually Twitter back then, I suppose. There were a handful of Scoped campaigners, and we all met online. And maybe this was the first start of therapists in the UK beginning to connect, really, on Twitter, because I think before that there was, you know, the odd group here and there. There was a bit of chit chat and stuff. But I think this was kind of the, I guess, the start of it. I mean, I don't know how you were feeling, because obviously, Peter, you sent out the first Therapist Connect tweet in January 2020. So I don't know what had led you to feel like you wanted to do that.
I mean, it's interesting thinking back, because I remember feeling, I think I had about 600 Twitter followers at the time, and which is, it's still quite a few followers, but not compared to what I have now. And I remember feeling like it was a nice community, like it was kind of like I'd kind of go on, I kind of know who was there, and kind of we'd have these kind of therapy discussions. And it felt like it wasn't just one community, I suppose. There was lots of maybe smaller communities that grouped around kind of different topics and different areas. And I've told this story before, like sending out that first tweet was really like, it really wasn't thought through. It was like more of a spur of the moment kind of thing. And I think I'm still shocked to this day, kind of the response to that, because it wasn't just to the tweet itself. It was then the use of the hashtag, which then almost like took on a life of its own. But I think reflecting back, one of the things that I've learned and still see this now day to day, not just in our Twitter account, but across all of our different platforms, is the desire for therapists to connect with each other and talk about therapy, but talk about other topics as well, is still really there. And we might talk a bit about this, even though we've seen some people's behavior change with the different platforms that we're across now. Actually, that urge and that desire to connect with people and talk about things, I think, is still really prevalent, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was so needed. Such a simple thing, a hashtag, but, you know, to just be able to really bring people together and I agree with you. Yeah. To be able to chat about things. And I actually think it's changed the profession. And of course, there's going to be many, many things that have been part of that, namely something beginning with P, a pandemic, right? So we were all going online. There hadn't really been that opportunity before. You know, there'd been Facebook groups, and there'd been some big Facebook groups that have run for a few years. But I think that particularly on other platforms like Twitter, thinking about expanding some of the more political conversations or stuff about our profession, you know, what therapy is, things about, I mean, we're a worldwide community now, you know, similarities and differences throughout the world in terms of therapy. It's such a blessing to be able to have, that that space to be able to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think for me, there is still a lot of learning that everybody has to do in terms of the impact of social media on the therapy profession. I think there's so many potential benefits that we can get from it. I think there's also some risks as well. And I almost feel like, I mean, I don't think we're the only kind of therapy community that's kind of popped up, and seeing how all of those different communities evolve and change, I think it's going to be really, really interesting over the next kind of, you know, 5-10 years, as we all figure out kind of what works and what doesn't work necessarily.
Yeah, I mean, Peter and myself have already been to a couple of academic conferences. We were invited to present at two academic conferences in, was it last year or the year before? I think it's 2021.
It was 2021, yes.
Yeah. I'm losing track of time. Yeah, everyone is over this period. So 2021, and we talked a little bit about Trainee Talk, which I'll come to in a moment. And then we talked about Therapist Connect and activism. Absolutely what Peter was saying there in terms of some of the benefits of social media and some of the pitfalls. There's quite a lot to explore there. And there's a lot that actually we've experienced as well, experienced through the Therapist Connect community, and the observations and how it's worked, and then also experience personally. Lots and lots of things to think about.
And I was going to say, I think because you talked about activism then, I think maybe one of, which links into this a little bit, but one of the things I think makes us stand out a little bit in terms of a community is that we're not for profit. And so kind of not, people don't necessarily know that about us, and sometimes think we've got kind of all this funding and money kind of, you know, to kind of organize these things. But because we're not for profit, it gives us like the freedom, like we're trying to create stuff for the community and bring people together. But we haven't necessarily got this drive to kind of, you know, make money. And so I think that helps us stand out a little bit against some of the other communities, which I'm not saying there's anything wrong with those, but they have a different process of what they're trying to achieve and do with those communities.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, our community evolved from you and I coming together. The hashtag started in January, which was before COVID. Well, COVID was kind of around, but it wasn't a pandemic and we hadn't gone into lockdown. And it was interesting because I was thinking a little bit before this podcast, I was thinking a little bit about my own process, because I think this is really interesting, our own process as co-leads in terms of how we've coped with a global pandemic, running a community, which is holding other therapists and supporting, as well as all the other members of the community. And therapists, of course, have just held so much. I say it a lot, you know, I believe therapists are like key workers, and most of us have kept working throughout this pandemic, and we have been holding a lot. So this all comes into what happens in community. So I was thinking about my own experience, and I was thinking about 2019. And Peter, I don't know if you know this, but in September 2019, I got concussion. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
So I knocked myself out. I'm not going to tell you how I knocked myself out, but it was a really stupid reason. But anyway, knocked myself out and I got concussion, and I was having to, you know, I was told by the hospital I had to rest for a period of time or whatever. And I remember because it was the BACP private practice conference and I was meant to be very involved in that. And I was thinking that was when for me started the mark of things becoming very, very difficult actually for me. Like that was probably the first thing that happened. And then a whole bunch of things, as life does sometimes, a whole bunch of things were just going on for me in my own personal life, which continued throughout 2020. And when I approached Peter in February 2020, I think a lot of that was because I was having some difficulties in my personal life and I needed a bit of a distraction. And I'd always worked with students before. I'd done a lot of work with students, teaching, supervising, facilitating, all kinds of things. And when Peter had sent out his initial tweet, I'd actually put in, I think, my response, or I'd written my response, and then I'd written one saying, you know, where are all the students out there? Because I felt so passionately about working with students and wanting to give, you know, wanting students to be able to feel that they could speak out on social media. So I think that all of this kind of contributed. So, you know, they say good can come out of bad. This was the good that came out of the not so good. I came up with this idea of Trainee Talk, which is our student community and our student project that we run every Monday on Therapists Connect on the Twitter account. And and I approached Peter, and then I think we started that in March 2020. And that was the beginning, really, of Therapist Connect beginning to, I guess, form as a community. And it's such a, I mean, we still both do it to this day. And I know that for you, Peter, you feel the same about students and so close to my heart.
I mean, it just aligned because, I mean, obviously I'm a lecturer. So, and so regularly see students every week. That's a key part of my job. So when you reached out to me, it just kind of aligned with kind of who I wanted to kind of connect with and my passion that, and I say this to a lot of students, like, once you see your first client, you are a therapist. You know, you might not have had that qualification yet, but you are that person's therapist, full stop. You know, you might not have the experience yet or whatever, but you are. And I think that's important to acknowledge, and how much support kind of students do need at those early stages of working. So I'm really glad that we keep doing that project, and that's still something that we do every week, although it has changed and evolved a little bit over the time. But so many things came from that. I think that's that initial collaboration. We then, you know, set up our YouTube channel, And we've had different people contribute to that, therapists introducing themselves, reflecting on important topics. We've had so many debates that we've kind of organized and facilitated and put up there free for anyone who wants to listen to those, as well as our lifetime achievement interviews. And, you know, those things will be there now forever. You know, people can go and watch them whenever they want. So there's so much that was achieved just in that particular year, I think. So it's funny looking back now, because I feel like the pace of what we've done has slowed down a little bit. So we didn't do as much maybe last year in 2022. And so comparing it, it's interesting to look back and think about how much was achieved in 2020 and how fast paced it was, I think, at the time.
Yeah, absolutely. We sometimes joke together that we don't quite know how we actually did as much as we did. Yeah. But I think that again is all part of the experience of living through the pandemic, or it was for me anyway. You know, we all just created a world online. And I think a lot of people have gone back to, you know, not so much on Twitter anymore, maybe gone back to their lives as their actual lives outside social media, which is as it, of course, needs to be. Also, we were thinking people have kind of migrated to other social media sites. There's a lot of change that happens. But of course, in those times, particularly during the lockdown, everybody really was online. And so it did become our world. I'm immensely proud of the amount of stuff that we did, like for instance our first birthday, and you know, like Peter just said, there are loads and loads of free content and things that we were excited about kind of creating and doing. And but yeah, there's a lot. You can obviously see our website, which is in the bio of all of our social media profiles, and catch up on some of the work that we've got. We've got our YouTube channel as well. So do check that out. But I think what Pete was saying there about just slowing down and solidifying things. I was saying, I've recorded a reflections video for Therapist Connect, and I was saying, you know, it's really important for everybody, really, for us, for the team, for the community, to find our feet and reflect on what we've done as a community, and also to put in some structure, you know, to focus on how we were delivering our values, because our values are very, very important to us. We didn't want to just run a community like, oh, we're just running it. However, you know, we wanted to run it in accordance with our values, and we wanted it to be, we talk about this thing called Safer Spaces. It was originally called Safe Spaces, and then we changed the name to Safer Spaces because we realized that, you know, actually nothing can be 100% safe. And also safety means different things to different people. But just having a kind of a set of guidelines about what that means, and being able to do some work on a project around that, that all became part of actually really going, who are we and what is it we want to stand for? And how do we keep our community safe as best as we can, as well as our team?
And I think that word safer as well for me is that idea of progression, as in it's never going to stop. You know, we're always working towards kind of creating those safer spaces. And I think there's things that we haven't got right, and I think there's things that we have got right, you know. And I think we've now maybe had a bit more of a space and time to reflect on some of that and really kind of refine what it is that we're doing and how we're doing that. I think the other thing I suppose I'd like to say is, like, kind of thank you to everybody who's contributed. You know, when you look across all the events that we've done and everybody who's contributed something in some way, you know, we're looking at hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of therapists who've contributed across all our different platforms. And also thank you to all of the volunteers that we've had over that time. People have come and gone, but they've all had, like, it's really important that they... all of our volunteers are passionate about our values and how we do things. And I think at the moment we've got a fantastic team who are all kind of on board and really understand what it is that we're trying to achieve. So I just really appreciate everybody who's contributed in some way to the platform, because without that, we wouldn't have a community, you know, to kind of be supporting and facilitating.
Yeah, ditto. Thank you so much to our current team. And as Peter said, you know, any volunteer that we've had who've understood our values and acted in accordance with them and helped us create the community. But yes, so many people who've contributed. We don't exist without our, well, it is the community. That's what it's about. So, thank you. You know, people have given their time. They've given their time for free. I've had people say to me, you know, oh, Kaz, I don't normally give my time for free for things, but I'm going to for you guys. That's really felt like a lot of mutual respect, actually, which has really meant something. So thank you. Peter, I wanted to ask you, what's been your favourite event or thing that we've done?
Oh gosh, put me on the spot. What's been my favorite event? I think one of my favorites, actually, and I wish I wouldn't mind recreating this or having another discussion, is the social media debate, actually, that we did, which is on our YouTube account. Anyone can go and look at that. And I think that was really interesting, because I don't feel that you see many therapists actually talking about what it's like to be, you know, on social media and engage in kind of different discussions. And I felt like it was really nice to have that debate and that discussion, really. I'd like to see more of that. I wouldn't mind doing another one of those.
Yeah. That was a fantastic discussion. It really was. And so much to talk about. I mean, I think...
What's your favourite?
I think it's between two, because I was going to say, we kind of, we did this private practice event. And I suppose, even though I was so tired, because I was the creative lead on that, and it was just when we were coming to the end of this very, very busy time, and I was absolutely exhausted, but it was just such an enjoyable event. It was a weekend event, and obviously because my specialism is helping people with ethical and thriving practice, I think for us to be able to do that and again have loads of people involved, that felt really good. And we had a little bit of a social media discussion in there as well. But I think it's between that and probably the scoped debates. this is a podcast, but I can see Peter's face. I'll ask you what that means.
Nothing can be your favourite if it's got scoped.
we'll just pretend, we'll just say the S word. We're not the actual word. But I think just because... Not my favourite, I'm going to reword it. The thing that I would be very proud of, because no one else was organising anything like this at that time. And, I'm going to be honest here, on at least one of those debates, it wasn't easy organising it. And we had a lot of pressure, a lot of people saying, you've got to have people for and against, which we wanted anyway. We were putting out calls left, right and centre. And we got the membership bodies involved on one of those debates. I think
it's also fair to say that that nearly didn't happen, that event. I won't say more than that, but it nearly didn't happen. There was a lot of hard work to try and make sure that it did go ahead, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think if we're going to pat ourselves on the back about anything, it would certainly be those debates. I believe that even this week, and I think last week, Peter, you were saying that you could see that people were clicking on the debates on YouTube, so people are still watching them to get a little bit of an idea about what Scope's about.
Yeah, and I think that's what I really like about some of the YouTube and the podcast stuff, is that they are there for people to draw on when they need to. So when the scope stuff comes back up, you know, people can go and watch those debates, refresh their memory about what's happened, or kind of get informed about different topics. So I think it's a great resource for people if they want to use it.
So we talk about going forward. Should we talk
going
about
forward? Now? Yeah. I'm really excited. I think last year it felt like was like this solidifying of kind of where we're at and what centralizing that some of the things that we wanted to do, particularly with the volunteers, and all of our different platforms. So I think for me, 2023 and 2024 is like quite exciting. It's like, where do we go from here? I know we've got a few different, because both of us are writers, probably more naturally, I would say, than kind of social media and speakers, maybe, for example. I don't want to speak for you, but I'll speak for myself. So I know we've got some writing projects, which were reflecting on some of the work that we've done and some of the things that we've been trying to achieve. So I'm excited about doing those and kind of trying to get that out into the world. It's like almost like little kind of ambassadors, if you like, of the Therapist Connect community and kind of what it is that we're trying to do.
I mean, I think it's a bit of a reward as well to be able to spend a bit of time, you know, writing. People know that I quite like talking on screen. I haven't done it so much recently, I guess I've done I do like that as well. But I think definitely these things are more natural to me, being able to communicate stuff. I suppose it's all communication, isn't it? And theorize about things and think about things. I feel much more comfortable actually in these places than I do probably tweeting and on social media and all of that, although I've got used to it. So this is going to be great. And I think, you know, for us that we want to do more of that in some of our debates or discussions or however, whatever mediums, whatever mediums it might take, to think more about therapy and think more about our profession, and perhaps be able to really, get stuck into having some good discussions, thinking about things, and acknowledging that so many people may not get the opportunities to work within membership bodies, write for some of the flagship magazines or whatever, but they may well have a lot to contribute. And I think that's something that we feel really passionately about. We like to meet people who have stuff to contribute and want to give something to our profession, whether it's about therapy itself or about where our profession is going.
I think that's really important, Kaz. And I think one of the things that we set out at the beginning of all of this was like an aim to kind of help elevate up different voices and a diverse range of voices into the therapy community. So that some people who sometimes do have something to contribute but don't always get heard because of the different ways that those voices are listened to or highlighted. So I definitely think that's one of our further aims to continue with this year. Okay, so it feels like a nice place to kind of draw it to an end. And again, I suppose just thank everybody, including all of the podcast listeners who have been loyal to us since the beginning. We have got quite a few more episodes planned for 2023. So keep an eye out on this space. And thanks for all your support over the last 3 years.
Yeah, well done, Peter, with the podcast. And thank you to all the guests. And I will try not to leave it another year before I pop back in again.
Brilliant. Thanks, Kaz.
Take care. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Therapist Connect podcast is sponsored by ISOS Connect. Modernize your private practice without tech overwhelm. Create and store client records and notes. Schedule video sessions with automated confirmations and reminders. Send invoices and more. All in one secure, affordable, and easy-to-use place. Visit www.isosconnect.com and use code TC30 for 1 month free on any paid plan.
Thank you for listening to the Therapist Connect podcast. Go to www.therapist-connect.com for more discussions and debates.